Back in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in this thing for a long time, man. It's good, though. How many of you enjoying it? Sermon on the Mount. And guys, remember what I said two Sundays ago, that's so incredibly important. there is a storm coming. Right? Whatever just came to your mind, don't even think about that. Because that's probably not it. Right? There is a storm coming. And the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is to prepare your house so when the storm comes, your house makes it. Right? Jesus isn't like, maybe a storm's coming. He's like, it's coming. Right? So we're going to talk about today is about making vows. Right? And so it's kind of going to be an interesting sermon, I think. It honestly was a little bit like, seems a little boring and mundane to me, right? But we got to see what Jesus is saying here. And again, remember that Jesus chose to include this in this sermon, telling us how to build lives that will not fall apart. So I guess it's pretty important. Amen. Matthew 5:33. Y'all there? Again, you've heard the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, look at what he's saying, right? The word but in there, it's like a contrasting word, right? But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Crazy, right? That's a pretty strong statement. Anything beyond yes, yes, and no, no is of evil. Some translations say of the evil one. Now, the Greek word there is not, when you see like the devil, the word devil in the Bible, that Greek word, it's a different Greek word here. So it's not a direct reference to the devil necessarily, but it's I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but it's kind of partnering with something evil, right? It's not like Satan, but it's evil in nature. Does that make sense? Let's take this apart a little bit. So first of all, church, he says, right, you have heard it said, he's talking about the old covenant, right? Do not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. How many people think that sounds like a good idea? I do, for sure. But you know what? I think, we'll see how this comes out. Praise God. I think what happens sometimes is that we can, how many people have ever made a vow to the Lord on a Sunday during worship? Right? When you're up front and you're crying and you got goosebumps all over and you know, right? How many people have made more than one of those? And I see 5. How about 10? Can I get 10? Can I get 10? How about 50? 50? 50? 20? 25? Right, right. Sold! Right? Dude. As I said a couple weeks ago, there's that great casting crown song that talks about between the altar and the door. Right? It's like when the goosebumps are gone, when the crying's over, when all the... And I tell you what, that's a real thing there, right? I'm not belittling that for one moment, but you know, Lord, I'll go anywhere, and you walk out, and then he's like, how about to your next door neighbor? And you're like, no, I meant like Africa. That's what I meant. I meant someplace like cool, you know. He's about, how about you go talk to your mom that you haven't talked to in 4 years? I didn't mean that, you know. I mean, like, as a missionary, he's like, I know, that's where I'm sending you. That's your mission. Go reconcile with your parents. I don't know, maybe someone needs to hear that this morning. I don't know. You know what I'm saying, church? We can get in environments and in settings. Sometimes it can be all by yourself. My goodness, I've had times in prayer all by myself, just me and Jesus, man, that is so powerful. And I am just tears streaming down my face. And I feel God, and I'm like, I'll do anything. And then it wears off, and I'm like, ah, man, what did I say? I don't know, because, right? And I think one of the warnings we're getting here, church, is because when we make a vow to the Lord and then we violate it, man, do we feel awful. Can I get an amen? And he's saying, look, man, Jesus, look what he says. Do make no oath at all in verse 34. Don't do it. Here's the thing with an oath. An oath is a solemn appeal to a deity or to some revered person or thing to witness one's determination to speak the truth or to keep a promise. All right, so when I make an oath, if I make an oath to my sister here, what I'm going to say to her is I'm promising you I'm going to do this, or I'm promising I'm going to speak to you a certain way, I'm treating you a certain way, but I'm going to use someone else's integrity to back up my promise. That's what an oath is, right? You know, you watch like old Western movies. I don't watch those. But if you watch those old movies, they'd be like, I swear on my dead great-granddaddy that, you know, they'll make this promise, you know, and they'll use their grandfather, or they'll use their mom, or they'll use something, right? They'll swear on this. And because I want to honor the thing that I'm promising you from, right, I'm worried about not disrespecting this thing that I'm making this promise from. Does that make sense, church? That's what he's saying. Don't make an oath. That's what an oath is, right? Do not make any vows, right? Do not make any oaths at all, either by heaven, right? So he says, don't swear, don't make an oath. By heaven, I'm going to do this. He said, don't do that. Nor by the earth, nor by Jerusalem, nor by your own head, right? On my own life, I promise you. Jesus said, don't do it. Because he says, you know, you can't make one hair white or black. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Somebody runs a stop sign, T-bones you, it's all over. What good's that promise? Is that all right? Here's what I find funny in this particular passage, that, and we're going to just really camp out here. So church, please, I hope this doesn't get, I'm going to try to keep this kind of light a little bit, but I don't want it to be too monotonous, right? But Jesus says, don't make any oaths at all. Don't make any by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, by your own head. Don't make oaths on the honor of your sweet mama. Don't make one in the honor of your favorite gerbil. Don't make one in the on the honor of your favorite sports team, right? Don't do it. In verse 33, Jesus was referencing another section of the law, and the word there is vow, right? But then he uses oath for the rest of the thing. And in the Greek, they're very similar words, right? So he goes on this whole thing, but then verse 37 is kind of, again, where we're going to kind of camp out here. He says, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Turn with me to James chapter 5. We're going to examine this a little bit more. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. And we have a little bit of a discourse from James here, but look, verse 12 is going to be our landing spot. James 5, 7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Ouch. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. Dude. We need to put a microphone on the ceiling just so when people are watching on Facebook, they're like, why does he keep looking at the ceiling? Right? I mean, think about what James is saying right here. We're going to wander a little bit in James 5 and bring it home. Amen. But he's saying, look, be patient for the coming of the Lord, right? Because the farmer waits because he knows there's got to be former rains and latter rains and then harvest. He's saying, look, there's a couple of seasons you're going to have to go through before the Lord comes back. Just be patient, because the farmer plants knowing that if I wait, the fruit's coming. I know it's coming, right? So he's encouraging us. James is saying, don't lose hope, man. Don't, if you go through a long season where it doesn't look like anything's happening, don't lose hope. Just like a farmer, man, I know it's coming. You guys ever seen Faith Like Potatoes? Dude, the acting's not that great, but man, what a great movie. True story. It's a true story. If you have not seen that, I would highly recommend that you see that. Verse 8, you too be patient. Right, he's talking again back about the farmers, right? Be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. He wrote this 2,000 years ago, y'all. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Now, I've talked to some friends, and I've got some friends of mine that you love them to death, but we'll talk, and they'll be like, well, you know, Job is just kind of a one-time deal, one-time story. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I hope not. I remember years ago the Lord said to me, if you want to think about Job, when in the beginning of Job, the Bible says that God's in heaven, all the sons of God gather, the angels are gathering, and Satan is among them, right? And the Lord is the one who picks up, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him in all the earth, upright and blameless, fears God, you know? And Satan's like, oh, yeah, well, just let me mess with him a little bit. I'll show you what he's really like. And we know this story, right? He loses everything, except he can't die. I mean, that's the Lord's literally, just don't kill him, right? All of his camels, goats, giraffes, I don't know, whatever he's got, right? I mean, he's got rhinos or something. I don't know what he's got. But all of this stuff, man, it's all of his money, church, right? So Job is loaded, y'all. Job is loaded. This dude's a billionaire back in the Bible, right? In like 5 minutes, loses everything. It's gone. You think the stock market crashes around here. Look at Job's story. Talk about a stock market crash, man. Hardcore. That guy loses everything. And then his kids get killed. That's in like 5 minutes. It takes you 5 minutes to read that. And then the next thing that happens is his health deteriorates. The Bible describes him as sitting in a pile of ashes, and he's scraping the boils on his skin. Yo. I don't even know what that looks like. It's probably gross, though. His wife's like, we just curse God and die. Right? We used to sing that. You know, you guys know that song of Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, right? Remember that song? We used to sing, you give and take away, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. We had folks in our church didn't like us singing that song. God doesn't take things away. I'm like, you need to read your Bible. Oh, my goodness. There's some things I wish he'd take away. Please take this. All right. I'll give it to you. Here you go. Amen. Right? My goodness, church, the Lord takes things away from people. Come on. Can I get amen? We didn't sing it because I don't want to ruffle feathers at the time. We're going to sing next Sunday. Praise God. But look, here's my point, church. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, is Job the only guy that's upright and blameless? And I was like, pretty sure yes. And he goes, no. Because he says, you know what, that's how I see you. You are upright and blameless. And you fear God and turn away from evil. I was like, yeah, but I'm not that great at it, though, you know? I mean, but you see, but church, you got to see. God doesn't see us only through our performance. He sees us first through the blood of Jesus. I see who you are. I know who I'm making you. And there's a journey. We know that, right? And I got you while you're stumbling along trying to get over here where I know you can make it to, right? But this is what the Lord said to me, church. He said, son, does the devil know what's in Job's heart? Church, what's the answer? No, the devil does not know what you're thinking. He doesn't know what's in your heart. What the devil knows is how you react to something. He's a bully, right? Bullies pick on people until they get a reaction. When they find the reaction, I'm going to hit that thing over and over and over until you punch him, he gets punched in the face. Right? Two ways to get a bully off you, ignore him or punch him in the mouth. Right? You want to get the devil off your back, ignore him. If that doesn't work, punch him in the mouth. Can I get amen? So this is what the Lord said to me, and I thought it was so powerful. We'll tie it back into verse 11 here in just a moment. He said, son, look, I know that Job's going to make it because I made him. I know who he is. I know what's in him. The devil doesn't know what's in him. I know what's in him. So he says, I'm going to use Job's ability to make it to spit in the devil's face. And I knew it was coming already after that. He says, son, maybe I let some stuff come at you because I know you're going to make it. And I'm going to use your ability to endure to spit in the devil's face. You thought that was going to take him out, but it ain't going to. He's going to come back. He's going to be all right. Can I get him in? Because what's the devil want? He wants to worship. That's what he's trying to steal from God. I want you to worship me. That's what the devil tempts Jesus with. If you bow down and worship me, right, I'll give you all this stuff. Church, here's the deal. If Jesus had bowed down and worship the devil wouldn't have given him nothing. It's a lie. The whole thing's a smokescreen. Can I get amen? Right? So what's the point about Job? Look at what he says. James is telling us we need to look at the story of Job and through all the suffering and all the stuff he went through. And what we've got to hang on to is the end of the story of Job. God brought back double what he lost. Double. And he says, if God did it for Job, James is saying, if God did it for Job, he's going to do it for you. Can I get amen, church? That's what he's saying, right? Now, look it. Are you guys ready? You're going to catch this. Everybody say the first phrase of verse 12 together with me, right? Let's say it three words, right? But above all. You're like, wait a second. Okay, so we've got here in this discourse in the 5 verses, we've got be patient like a farmer, be patient, strengthen your hearts, don't complain against each other. You're going to get judged by the capital J judge. Amen, right? As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets. Look at the story of Job. You're going to get a double portion back if you hang on. But then James says, but you know there's something that's even more important than that. Above all. Look at what he says. But above all, my brethren, do not swear. He's not talking about four-letter words there, church. We all know we shouldn't do that. Right? Guess what? The word that Jesus used in Matthew 5 for oath and the word that James uses right here for swear is exactly the same Greek word. He's saying, don't make an oath. That's what James is saying. Above all. Church, do you know in the book, read the book of James this week. There is some crazy powerful stuff in the book of James, man. James is where he talks about no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of all kinds of deadly poisons, right? He's like a small rudder can steer a ship, like a spark can start a forest fire. The tongue can cause a world of trouble, all in the book of James. James has some amazing teaching in it, and then he finishes up. This is right at the almost totally at the end of the book of James. He says, but the most important thing I'm going to tell you, don't make an oath. You're like, what? What on earth is that about? Either by heaven or by earth, or with any other earth. But your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Wow. So think about this. This is the only two places in the New Testament that this is taught. You got Matthew 5 from Jesus. You got James chapter 5. James is Jesus' half-brother, right? I don't know if there was like some tension in their house growing up together. I don't know what was going on, man. I don't know if they like made oaths with each other or something, or James made an oath with Jesus. Or I don't know what's going on, but it's interesting that these two guys are the only two guys that teach this stuff. Amen. As a Christian, let's back to Matthew 5. We're going to tear this down a little bit. As a Christian, church, I'm still learning something, obviously. Or we're all in a lot of trouble. Let's just close it down now and go home. All right, if I'm done learning, we're in trouble. One thing that I'm still learning, among many, is that as a Christian, it's actually okay to say no. You know how many Christians burn out because they can't say no? You know how many Christians burn out because they can't say no because the pastor or the leadership guilts them into saying yes? I look into nobody. Right? Church, come on, man. I tell you what, it's hard for me to say no. I'm not a no person. I've never been a no person. My whole life, I've always been like, man, I got you, I'll help you out, no problem. Even more so as a Christian now. Like, to me, I get a phone call, I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man, I don't care. Before I talk to my wife. You know, that doesn't work out so well sometimes. Can I get amen? But the bottom line is, my beloved, sometimes not only is it okay to say no, sometimes it is absolutely the right thing to say. 100% the right thing to say. And I think that if you find yourself to be a predominantly no person, you probably need to get right with Jesus. For real. Like, really, as I was praying about this week, so I'm thinking, again, kind of a bland sermon, you know what I mean? I'm trying to look at this thing going, what's in you? Let's pull something important out of here, right? As Christians, I think there should be like this perpetual yes in us. Can I get amen? I opened up this morning, you know, last, I don't know, 6 weeks on Wednesdays, man, we've just been releasing a yes into the atmosphere, right? You know, we've got some new folks coming that are a little bit more demonstrative in their worship. Pastor, is it okay if I, yes. Pastor, can I dance? Yes. Can I shut? Yes. Can I let? Yes. 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 Absolutely yes. This one guy I used to listen to way back in the day, he says, most Christians live their lives like they're sitting at a stop sign waiting for God to say go. And he says, look, I think it's more like there's a green light almost all the time, and we just need to listen for the Lord to take a right or a left. Right? Like, it's this, there should be this go. There should be this yes in us, right? Can I get an amen? I don't think Jesus is not talking about whether we should say yes or no. He's saying when you say one of those two things, don't waver. Amen. Dude, she is so loud at home. Oh, my goodness gracious. If you're on Facebook and YouTube, that's our littlest one. She's discovered her pterodactyl screech. It's wonderful. It seems to be totally random. She's not even mad. She's happy, and she lets one rip right in your ear. I'm not deaf from this stuff. I'm deaf from kids. Praise God. Dude, it's. I actually was bleeding the other day right out of my ear after one of those. I'm kidding, I wasn't. But anyway, you know what I'm saying, church? It's okay to say no. Everybody say that with me. It's okay to say no. Say one more time. It's okay to say no. Doesn't that feel good? It's okay to say no. No. Dad, you always say no. No, I don't. Right? It's okay to say no. You know what I've learned as I've grown a little bit pastoring this church, I tell people all the time, if I ask somebody to do something like be involved in a ministry or serve in some capacity or whatever it is, I say to even our board, we have board meetings, financial decisions need to be made. I lay it out to the board. Everybody's on the board. You'll confirm this, right? I lay it out to the board and I say, look, this is your call. You need to decide what's the right thing for the church. Whatever you decide, I will honor it. If it's a no, it's a no. If it's a yes, it's a yes. If we adjust it, we adjust it. Can I get an amen? As we, not only is it okay for me to say no, it's okay for somebody to tell me no. I got to not be offended because somebody says no. Hey, man, can you help me out? You know, I really can't. And it's so weird. I just dealt with something yesterday, so I hope this isn't. I mean, this was done, so I'm not looking in any particular direction. It's crazy. 2 weeks ago, I dealt with something, and sermon was already done. I was dealing with something. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to preach this stuff on Sunday. Here we go. Praise God. I'm not offended. I'm not hitting anybody personally in Jesus' name. Just getting it out there. Can I get amen, right? Here's the thing, church. Because I say no doesn't mean I don't love you. And because I say yes doesn't mean I do. Come on. If I love my kids, I tell my kids no a lot. You want to know why? Because my kids need to understand how to be told no and not act like a 4-year-old toddler having a meltdown. Because they're going to hear lots of no's in their life. That all right? We got a whole generation coming up in colleges right now. I mean, oh my goodness gracious. Participation trophies. Like, you know what? Y'all need to lose once in a while and see how that feels. Can I get amen? I grew up y'all know who Michael Jordan is, right? I mean, some of you are people like, who's that? I know LeBron James. I don't want to hear that filth out of your mouth ever again in this church, LeBron James. Michael Jordan, all right, Michael Jordan, you know his story. Greatest basketball player ever. Yes, better than LeBron James. Hands down, you don't like it, find another church. Amen. All right? Because the Holy Ghost is all over. He's backing up Michael Jordan, all right? So, amen. But look at church, the story about Michael Jordan, he was cut in high school. He was cut. And he was so hurt and so upset and so angry about being cut that he went and just worked his tail off. And with 3 years later, won a national championship at North Carolina as a freshman, hit the game-winning shot, was cut from his high school basketball team 3 years before that. When he went into the pros, church, my sermon's not long enough. That's why I'm throwing all these stories in. No, his sermon's like 10 minutes long. When he went into the pros, he got beat the first like 6 years. The Detroit Pistons beat him, and then this team beat him. And finally, he's like one season, he went in the offseason, put on 12 pounds of muscle, got strong, and like ripped. He came back the next year. They kicked that team's butt, won 6 championships in a row. But you see what I'm saying? You know what fueled Michael Jordan? It's because he lost. That hurts, man. I don't like losing. Sometimes, my beloved, we need to hear a no. We need it to hurt a little bit. We need it to, like, hit something inside of us, and then we to examine ourselves. I love David last Sunday was talking about self-awareness, right? Self-awareness is the ability for me to step outside of myself and say, why do I feel that way? Why did I say that? Not why did you do that? Why did I do that? I don't care what you did. Why am I doing what I'm doing right now? Is that all right? It's okay to say no. It's okay to receive a no. Honestly, there's been some folks I love everybody that's ever come through this church. Church, you hear my heart. But there are some people that I know said yes because they were built in a system of if the pastor asks you to do something, you say yes. I close my eyes on purpose. Come on, man. So what David was talking about last Sunday, church, I have been trying to dismantle system for years. People get burned in the church because of the system. Right? Got to say no. We got to say no sometimes. And here's the deal. When I say no, make sure that you know that that's the right no. Right? Like, if you're not sure, pray about it. Take some time. I tell people, take some time. Pray about it. I don't care. I don't care. A month, 2 months, 6 months. I don't care. Pray about it as long as you need to. Don't give me an answer until you know in your heart it's the right one. God's not in a hurry. I've had people say yes, and then the relationship falls apart because what they should have said probably all the way back there was no. I'm just going to throw this out here, get it into the culture. I care so much more about you than what you do. I care way more about you, your marriage, your family, your financial well-being, the health of your soul. If you never do one thing in this church for me or for this ministry, I don't care about that. I care about you. Because you know what? If folks are healthy, they'll do stuff. I don't even have to ask them to do it. They'll do it by themselves because they'll hear the Spirit of God. Is that all right? Please, if you know you're not ready to do something, just say no. I have so much respect for folks. We had a guy in ministry here on the worship team several years ago. We sat down. We were talking about him being on in the team anymore, and I said, do you want to be on the team? He's like, not really. I was like, wow, that was a short meeting. Man, great. Let's grab a cup of coffee. Church, he's still here. I wasn't mad. I was like, well, praise God. Thanks for being honest. Right? My goodness. Is this all right? Yes. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Right? Hey, can you do this? Yeah, man, I've already got 6 million things I'm juggling. Let me do one more thing. Yeah. Kids are a mess. Finances are a mess. Marriage is a mess. But sure, no problem. Can I get amen? Could be a favor someone asks you. Could be involvement in a program or ministry. Could be anything, really. I'm not just talking about church, y'all. At work. Sometimes at work, we think, man, if I say yes to every single thing my boss asks me, I'm going to get a promotion. Probably not. Probably not. Because you know what? If I had folks working for me, I'd want to see somebody that's going to stand up for themselves rather than just tell me, oh, yes, yes, sure, 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 sure. Do you respect yourself enough to tell me no? Is that right? Church, I think here's the thing that Jesus is really getting at here. If you read like New Living Translation, if that's your Bible, I think it's titled right here. These five or six scriptures here is titled Integrity. I think this is really what Jesus is getting at here is integrity. Right? Because the reason that I would feel like I need to make an oath, right? Again, I'm promising something to my sister, but I need someone else to verify my integrity is because I don't believe my own integrity. All right, how many of us have, hey man, can you pray for me? Yeah, sure. And then we see him 2 weeks later and they go, hey, man, thank you so much for praying. And you're like, praying about what? Dude, don't even tell me I'm the only one that's ever done that. You know what I try to do now when somebody says, Pastor, can you pray for me? Yes, let's pray right now. Because look it, I say yes with the best of intentions, but I'm human and we're busy. I'm just being real. Can I get amen? Now and folks, Pastor, can we pray? Yep, let's pray right now. And then hopefully I'm going to remember to pray more. I typically do, but you know what I mean. Let's go after the thing right this second so that my yes is actually a yes. In the moment, let's take care of it. See, how many times, church, have we said yes to something with the best of intentions only to completely forget about it in 5 minutes? I can't tell you how many, most of y'all good now, but when I first took the church over, people would come to me at the end of service and they'd start talking to me, Pastor, can you do this? And I'm like, bro, look. My first year, I was like, sure. I just led worship and preached and prayed for folks. I am not paying attention to whatever you're saying to me, even though it looks like I am. I want to. I really do, but my brain's I'm pretty much cooked at that point. Can I get amen? All right. Now what I tell people is, man, look, please send me an email. All right, shoot me a text because I got it in writing. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did talk to that person. Yes, praise God. Right? You see what I'm saying? We say yes, I think with good intentions, and then we drop the ball because we don't follow up. Right? And you know what that does? It hurts our integrity. Man, you said you're going to do that, and you didn't do it. You forgot about me. Even if you come back and you say, my gosh, I'm so sorry I forgot, and they say, oh, it's fine. You know what? It does something in here. It does something in here. Right? Integrity. How many times do we tell our kids no, and they keep wearing us down until we say yes? And you know what, church? Look, there's times when Missy and I are like, we're done. Eat all the ice cream in the freezer. Okay, I don't care. Just clean it up. All right, I don't even care. Can we play in the street? Yep, just don't get hit by a car. Okay, fine. You know what I mean? Like, but there should be only like a couple times a day we should think like that. Can I get amen, right? But church, getting back to my point, like one of the things we need to teach our children is like when somebody in a position of authority gives you an answer, that's the end of it. That's it. It's not, you're not abusing your kids. You're teaching them how to be mature adults. And so, unfortunately, sometimes the Lord will give us an answer and we keep badgering the Lord about it. But you don't understand. He's like, I'm God. I'm pretty sure I got this one. Pretty sure I got it. Can I get amen? Right? So how many times have we given a yes when a no was needed or a no when a yes was needed, right? Again, I'm belaboring this, but it's important. I'm almost done here. The reason I think, church, that Jesus and James are both forbidding us, it's again, it's strong. They're forbidding us to make oaths. I believe it's because we should be living lives that are so consistent that when we give someone our answer, yes or no, they know we mean it. See, my dad got saved right before he passed. Some of you are new. My dad passed like 3.5 years ago, something like that. Got saved right before he died. But I used to tell people all the time, like, my dad's a better Christian than most Christians I know. Because, man, my dad was a guy, if he told you something, he's going to do it. Even if you didn't like it. Even if he's wrong. Man, he did not admit if he was wrong. He'd say something and be like, Pop, seriously, man, you're totally wrong. He's like, yeah, but I'm still doing it. There's one thing I love about my dad. If he told you something, you could take that one to the bank, man, because it was, he's going to do it. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. Let your yes be yes and no be no. Even if nobody likes your answer, this is what God has told me to do. Church, there is some stuff coming in our, whether it's now, whether it's in a couple years from now, it don't matter. At some point, the Bible says things are going to get worse, not better, before Jesus shows up. And there's a time, my beloved, coming that we as Christians are going to have to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. We're not doing it. I'm not doing it. Go ahead. Put me in jail. Find me. Arrest me. Burn me at the stake. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Can I get amen? You're like, in America? Yeah, right here in America. I hope it doesn't come. My gosh, I'd prefer to just, you know, hang out and you know, hey, there's Jesus coming back. Praise God, we made it. But the Bible says it's going to get ugly and messy. Is that all right? Let's look at this last thing, and then I'll just give you a couple of proverbs here about integrity. And church, here's the thing with integrity. I love when we see scriptures that talk about, like, there's one that says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Some of you say, well, doesn't that one says holy as he's holy? But there's another one that says to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Right? There's other scriptures that will say, and you then you will be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you're like, you look in the mirror and go, yeah, but I ain't perfect, not even close. But the Greek word for perfect, church, means complete. It means mature. Doesn't mean flawless. Right? Like a perfect diamond, is there's no flaws in it. That's not what it's saying. To be perfect in the Bible means I'm mature. I love one of David's points, his 10 things, if you guys listened on Saturday's thing, and he said this. He says, I will own my words and my actions. I will own my words and my actions. 10 keys to living a resurgent life. I will own my words and my actions, right? Integrity doesn't mean I never make a mistake. It doesn't mean I never say something wrong. It doesn't mean I never stumble. It doesn't mean I never sin. It doesn't mean I never treat people poorly. It means when I realize I've done that, I own it. When I've said something to my wife I should not have said, I do not make an excuse for it. I own it. I was wrong. Should not have spoken to you like that. Right? When I mistreat my kids, when I do something wrong at work, whatever it is, church, I own it. That's it. That's integrity, right? And I'd rather have people that are honest about where they're at in their life than people who put the mask on Sunday and smile and everything's fine and you know it's not. Is that all right? So this last thing Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is of the evil one. It's of evil. All right. And I think what we got to wrap our heads around here, and closing in like 3 minutes here, is what I'm saying is that when I need to reference, you know, Pastor Al, because that's how what an oath is, right? It's a deity or a revered person. So if everybody respects Pastor Al, if I've got to say, well, Pastor Al can vouch for my integrity, what I'm saying is that there's actually something evil inside me that I'm not going to back it up on by myself. You can't trust me to make you a promise. I'm going to invoke his name because you trust him. See, if I live a life where I'm consistently not keeping my word, right, we're all going to mess up once in a while. That's where integrity kicks in. My gosh, I'm so sorry. Right? But if I'm consistently, yeah, man, I'll do this and then I bail. Yeah, I'll do this and I bail. Or no, and then I do it. And all this wishy-washy stuff. What it's going to prove to people is like, you have no idea if what he's telling you is the truth or not. And as Christians, my beloved, we should not be like that. We should be men. I know this guy knows Jesus. He tells me something. I know he's going to do it, or I know he's not going to do it. Period. There's nothing I can say that's going to waver him off of that decision that he's made. This all right? Proverbs 19, verse 1. We're done right here. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So if you realize, there's like something hidden in that one right there. The one who's perverse in speech is actually wealthy. Or else he wouldn't say better as a poor man. Right? Better as a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Proverbs 20, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. In that church, I decided long time ago, if I make it, Jesus doesn't come back and I'm like 85, sitting in a wheelchair somewhere. I don't know. Hopefully I'm still playing golf when I'm 85 or something. But you know what I mean? Like I'm at the end of my race. What do I want people to say about me? Do I care how big my church is? Nope. Care how much money I got? Nope. You know what I want? I want my sons to be blessed after me. I want my children to look at me and say, man, real deal. Couldn't have had a better dad. I want more, couldn't have had a better husband. I want folks that have been our church, man, what a great pastor, good man of God. He's the real deal. Yeah, he's kind of dumb. He does dumb stuff once in a while, but he's the real deal. Right? Yeah, a couple amens about that. I heard that over there, bro. We'll talk after church. Be in my office. All right. Disciplina. Last one. Proverbs 10:9. He who walks in integrity walks securely. Church, what is this sermon about? Building your house that stands up. No matter what, hurricane, tornado, earthquake, do your worst. Do your worst. My house is built right. It's going to stand up. He who walks in integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will be found out. Do I know when you're going to find him out? When the storm hits. Because my house is standing up. His house fell down. Perverted. And perverted is not, like, we think perverted is like, I'm just going to throw it out there, man. We think that's like a sexual term. No, it just means you're twisting it. The Hebrew word means twisting something. I'm going to twist this. This is the way it should be done. I'm going to twist it and do it differently. That's all it means, right? I'm gonna put the cart before the horse, right? I know I should do this now, but I really want to do this because this is more fun. But I didn't build this right, so no matter how fun this is, it's going to fall down because I skipped this step. Right? In Jesus' name, let's all stand up. Hope this was, again, guys, kind of a plodding along kind of a sermon, right? Not like super lots of revelation and like, whoa, that was mind-blowing. But if we get this stuff, when the storm hits, we'll be glad we got it. I see lots of folks with deep revelation that don't make it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that you want us to stand up. You want our houses to stand. You want our families to stand. You want our businesses to stand, God. You want our financial security to be there, God. You want us to succeed. That's what you want. You don't want us to fail, God. Because if we're your sons and your daughters, we're your ambassadors on earth, and we stumble and fall, how does that make you look? Just like you used Job to spit in the devil's face, God, you're looking for us to stand up and endure and come through worshiping you no matter what happens to us, God. No matter what we might lose, no matter what might come crashing down around us, We will keep our eyes fixed on the fact that you returned a double portion to Job. So, Father, no matter what happens to me, I will hang on and say, I guess I'm getting twice as much stuff back. Lord, even if it doesn't happen until I get to the other side, that's all right. That's all right. Father, we ask that this morning, as we went through this section in the Word of God here, that we would be people of integrity. Lord, I ask that every one of us that is a perpetual yes person, we just can't say no. I ask that you'd give us the ability to hear you tell us no. You tell that person no. You got enough on your plate. You need to focus over here. You need to take care of this. You need to do this. No. No matter how that person responds, I know in my heart the right answer from the Spirit of God is no. No, not doing it. Help us to do that, Lord, and be kind, but be firm. God, I pray that when we say yes, that we mean it with all of our heart. And we do anything we got to do to back up that we said, yes, man, I will be there. I will do this. I will say this. I will build this. I will help you with this. That if I say yes, I mean it. And then, Father, we will be known. We will know each other as people of integrity, and the world will see the body of Christ, the Christians, God's sons and daughters, as people that, man, when they say something, you can take it to the bank. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation right now in Jesus' name, everyone on Facebook and YouTube. Lord, thank you for blessing us this week, Lord. Thank you for helping us to get our eyes off of all the chaos around us, God, the craziness in the government. Lord, the political climate, Father, help us to get our eyes off of all this turmoil and fixed on you, Jesus. Because you are the Alpha and Omega. You write my story. You hold it all together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have an awesome week.